All right, so I'm Dove, and it is great to be here. I really appreciated worship. I appreciated just being aware of God together. We have men's prayer on Fridays, which we don't have this week because of men of God. But a lot of our prayers, as we just ask people for prayer requests, a lot of our prayers are for healing. It's amazing to me how much just prayer for healing. And some of that is physical healing. And Cortland, we pray for you, sister, every Friday. And I have a good friend who had a stroke, and he can't move his left side at all. We pray for him every Friday. And some of that is for minor surgeries and stuff, but it's a big deal if it's yours. It's like, and some of that is for emotional healing, mental healing, because those are really real challenges in places of fear and loneliness and shame and anger and places where we need healing mentally. And some of those are for relational healing, even for marriages and for friendships, families. We pray for those. And some of that is for spiritual healing, praying for people that have no connection at all to God, have no connection to the spiritual life, and asking God to bring that spiritual healing and that God would spread. And so as I look at that, the beautiful thing is Jesus is a healer. And Jesus brings the healing power of God into our world. And he's not like a genie. Sometimes I wish he would heal in ways in my timing a little different. Sometimes I wish we could just say the right prayer and bam, all this stuff would just be taken care of. And it's an interesting place to wait in the middle of that. To wait aware of the need for healing, aware of the power of God, and asking and hoping and in faith walking forward. And God doesn't heal everything in our timing. But I have a strong confidence in God. The hope in Christ is that he will make all things right. And as we walk through this and he brings those gifts of heaven to us now, he brings healing. And sometimes it's kind of slow. I appreciate it in small group this week. I think it was David that said, sometimes clarity takes a while. Be faithful. Just this place of waiting. And we were talking more about trying to understand things like, I don't even know where to go. Just like, it might take a while. Just be faithful right where you're at. Keep trusting. Don't let go of that trust. Keep walking one step ahead of the other. And it might take a while. And sometimes it's not in our timing at all. But today I want to share a little bit about wholeness in what I'm going to call the and of Christ. God brings this and to us. Christ is the big and. Christ was God and man. He is the and. All man and all God. And in a world where we live in all these polarized things, is it this or is it this? Pick a side. We're being asked to pick all these crazy sides. I feel like more and more I learn the answer is yes and both of them, this and this. Is coronavirus a big deal and we should take measures to avoid it and slow it down? Yes. And should we trust God? Should we walk in faith? Should we not walk in fear? Yes. Can we do both of those? Absolutely. We live in this and. And I think people say, well, are you for this or are you for this? It's like, yeah, I'm for both of those. And let's walk in that and. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in wholeness. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. And God, I feel like today, a lot of this is so much in my head. I overthought it and thought it and thought through it. And God, I ask you, I beg you to make this more than just Dove's ideology more than just some thoughts on a screen, some pictures on a page. God, connect with us. We need you, God. We need you. You are the living God. Our eyes get so dim. We see such a short distance in front of us, but you are there. In faith, we trust you. Teach us how to walk in faith. God, we ask for your healing and your fullness. We ask you to renew and restore us in you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So I want to give a little backdrop. I think any model or picture is absolutely insufficient, but I still like them. I like to try to understand things. I've appreciated the bridge diagram and the three circles diagram, and Bill Bright's got a cool diagram. But life is life, and no model can explain life. So even as I go through this model, I want to invite you into the reality that's way bigger than just these pictures. This is how it used to be. It used to be, in the beginning, the way God created existence was that the heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom were one. And it was an amazing reality. And in that place, God and people lived in harmony. And people walked with God. And then there came a rebellion. And in the rebellion, people decided they didn't want to live in that heavenly kingdom. So God's kingdom, his kingdom, is where his will is done. And originally in that kingdom, it was like his will was done as our will. And I'm talking about our ancestors, so way back to Adam and Eve. His will was perfect. His will was perfectly done because it was his kingdom. And then first there was a rebellion in the heavens. There was a rebellion of angels led by Lucifer. And then humans as well rebelled against God and said, nah, I think we'd rather try it or have my will be done rather than your will be done. And there's way more to this. I'm giving you a snapshot of it. So. And so what happened is we call it the fall. People fell from the state they were in, and sin entered their lives. We became broken. Death and decay entered in a world that didn't know any of those. And the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom became separated. There became a schism between them. There was a brokenness. And so in this place, death and sin were a reality for all of us and kept us from that place of life. God is the source of life. By definition, death is separation from life. And God being the ultimate source of life, when we became separated from him, we had death as a new part of our existence. And this separation isn't just ancestral, that separation's in all of us. I'm a rebel. You were born with a rebel heart. Whose will do you want done? Probably yours. Whose will do I want done? Usually mine. And so in this, it wasn't just them. It was, you know, we each have that. And there's this separation from God. And so God came up with this amazing plan. We were watching a movie this week. I feel like this is cooler than any, like, movie. But so God had a plan in this. So God sent his son on this peacekeeping operation. So the Son of God entered into the earthly kingdom and took on human flesh and was born as a little baby. And so Jesus was born. He was God and man, which is a pretty tough and to walk in. God and man. And he came and he brought the kingdom of God into the earthly kingdom. And there had already been prophets, and God had been, you know, God hadn't totally given up on people. But Jesus came and he started healing people and teaching people and driving out the darkness. Because the interesting thing is the kingdom of earth is not just our little kingdoms, but we actually belong to this kingdom of darkness, which includes all this satanic influence and the work of the devil. And so he came into that place and he rescued us. And he did that by the crucifixion. Jesus, he died as a sacrifice on our behalf. He died to take away the claim that death had on us, the claim that sin had on us. We were slaves to the place that we were in. We were slaves to the enemy, to death, to sin, and he bought us. He purchased us with his blood. So he went to the slave market and he said, I'll take all of them. How much? Yeah, you just have to die. And he traded his blood for ours. And he paid that we could be forgiven. And then Jesus was resurrected. God raised him from the dead, conquering death, tearing that divide between people and God, bringing life back into earth, back into people, the spiritual life back into us. And then finally, he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God, where he has all authority. So Jesus ascended, and he has authority over all things. And so there's this amazing opportunity for all of us to enter into the reality of the kingdom of heaven. There's no longer a gap. There has been a gate that is opened through Christ. And so each of us can enter by faith. And so anyone who wants to, like Steve said from Timothy, God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come to a knowledge of God. And so we enter by faith. You don't have to do any of the right things. You don't have to go to church even. You don't have to pay any money. All you have to do is receive. Just in faith, say, Jesus, I receive your work. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your life. And Christ's life comes and lives in us, in the Holy Spirit. And I receive your authority. You're my king. Which are those things that he came and brought. And so so anyone who has never put their faith in Christ, it's as easy as saying yes. Yes, I'll take it. You offer this to me? Yes, I receive it. You're offering me forgiveness in your blood? Yeah, I'm in. You're offering me new life, the power of God in me? Got it. Yes, I'll take it. You're offering me authority in my life over things, as well as your authority in my life? Yeah, you could be my authority. And we just, in faith, receive it. And for those of you that have received Christ many years ago, it's an opportunity even today to be like, yeah, I receive your forgiveness, your life, your authority. It's an ongoing thing in faith. And so we have this hope that as God's kingdom continues to advance, one day all things will be restored. The kingdom of darkness is going to be judged and destroyed. And once again, God and people will be restored in harmony. And heaven and earth will be together again. In the meantime, we're kind of in between. So this is where we're at. We're like in between. I live on earth, but I'm a citizen of heaven. I have a human nature, but I also have the Spirit of God inside of me as a gift from Jesus. And so sometimes, I don't know if you guys ever feel this, like, okay, is it this or this? And it's and, right? It's both. So as followers of Christ, we walk in this place of both and. And I think there's a real challenge of if on earth we're people, we have a physical reality. It is the earth. Sometimes it's called the world. As heavenly citizens, we have God, the spiritual reality, or heaven. And sometimes it's really hard to keep both of those, a physical reality and a spiritual reality. Those are both existent at the same time. They've been kind of broken But God's bringing those back together. And in faith, we have both of those together. So the "and" is faith. By faith, we receive the heavenly reality. We receive our spiritual life. On earth, this is my kingdom. This is my little story. Heavenly citizenship is God's kingdom. It's God's big story. God is writing a killer story. And the movie of it, hopefully someday we can watch the summary of it. It's going to be better than the Hunger Games, I promise you. And by faith, we surrender. That's a tough word. By faith, I say, this is my kingdom. This is my story. I'm writing a legacy. And in faith, we surrender and say, I want to be in your big story. Write me in there. I'll be a little character in it. My kingdom is now under your kingdom. In faith. On earth is just me, my effort, my responsibility. Heaven is God's power. God with me. God in me. So one of the things I just want to highlight today, I think the challenge is sometimes we just let go of this and we just stay in one of them. What happens if I just stay in me, my effort, my responsibility? We call that the flesh. The flesh is me without God. And I'm getting older, but man, when I was young, I could get some stuff done. Like, man, I was pretty tough. You know, I was whatever. I didn't even realize. But it's so limited, just me. And I think sometimes we can let go of me and just say, you know what? All I have is God's power. God is with me, God in me. None of this stuff is real. Nah, I don't have any responsibility. I don't have any effort. I just like lay at home in the basement and God takes care of everything. And if any of you are married, that won't work out too well for very long. If any of you are kids and you're doing that, it's about time for you to get sent out. We have a responsibility. And faith is not a lack of responsibility or a lack of effort. Faith is walking in both of them. It's this and this. Faith means I walk in my effort, but it's not just my effort. I'm trusting in the power of a living God who empowers the things I do and makes them worth something. He is with me. On my own, I'm full of limitations, weaknesses, shortcomings, sin. Just means I fall short. But as heavenly citizens, I have his life in me. I have freedom. I am righteous. I have an abundance. And faith doesn't mean that I let go of one or the other. But faith is saying yes, this and this. And when I come in the reality of my limitations, my weaknesses, my shortcomings, and I'm aware of God and his power, his magnificence, his freedom, his abundance, I've experienced transformation. He starts transforming those weaknesses. He's transforming my limitations. He's transforming my old ways of thinking that are pathetic in faith. On earth, the reality is pain, brokenness, decay, fear, and death. Our heavenly citizenship gives us abundant life, unconditional love. God will never, ever, ever stop loving you. In life in the age to come, after this age is over, there's life in the age to come, eternal life. And so if we just let go of one or the other, we live either in a place of despair or a place of delusion. But in the middle of that place, we can find comfort. I really appreciated that new song. I felt like God just really met me in that and even tied into what I'm talking about today. So in the Bible are these beautiful laments. And in them, it's not saying, hey, the pain of life is, it doesn't matter. The fact that there's decay and death, it doesn't matter, I don't care, because I'm just happy because everything is always good. It's saying, no, this is really real. But it doesn't say this is the only thing that's real. It says this is really real, and there's an amazing God who is giving me comfort, who has unconditional love for me, who's showing me blessings in the middle of all of this pain, who is making it right, and who will give me, who's given me eternal life to know God forever and to stay in that place. I think those laments bring that together so well and so just in such a pure way. So if we just have the earth, what that leads to is a bunch of despair. Or if life's going really well, a bunch of pride. Like, see this kingdom? That's me. I did all that. My life is good because I make all the right decisions. And I am a good person. Therefore, my life works out well. So, or this despair of just like, man, everything is screwed up. And there's no way out of it. And I think this word connects for me. If I just focus on this, I wallow. Has anybody ever wallowed in their own muck? Or do I just, am I the only one that does that? Man, I've just wallowed in it. Just like, oh, woe is me. This is so hard. This is too much. I'm such an idiot. What do people think of, blah, whatever. You guys don't want to hear my junk. I don't want to hear my junk. But if this is all there is, the best we can get is self-help. Hey, here's a formula for 5 steps to joy. Man, there's a blog out there right now, ton of them. 5 steps to joy, do these 5 things. And if you do all the right things, life will go well and be perfect. And that's the best we can get. Or, I don't see this very often, but I think sometimes we say there is no pain, there is no hurt, there is no death. I'm not afraid, I don't care, nothing hurts me. And I think, if we say this is all there is, it's a place of delusion. Like, bro, you're not in reality. There is more to reality than just this spiritual realm. We live on earth. We are grounded here. This is part of our reality. And it becomes just these warm, fuzzy ideas or some ideologies. Like, oh, if you can have this great ideology, then you escape into nirvana, some kind of, you know, it's like, no, we are here. Those both exist. And so I want to invite you into this place of and I want to ask you not to let go or one or the other and walk in the and of life. On earth, I need. Sometimes I pretend I don't or I hate that I do, but I do. I have needs. I'm limited. And I don't know. I don't know things. I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand the realities of life. As citizens of heaven, God gives. He gives grace. He doesn't give because I earned it. He loves you because he loves you, because he's love, because he made you and cares for you. And God will never stop being love. So, God gives out of his love, and God knows all things. And so to be able to walk in the middle of that, clarity might take a while. Will we just be faithful to hang on to that place? And so Mark and I don't know if you guys know Mark Bruner, we've been talking a little bit about wholeness, mental wholeness, and mental health, and I wanted to have Mark come up and just share a little bit. I'm just going to kind of interview him and ask him some questions. And so, Mark, if you want to come up. All right. He's representing.
Take my mask off here. Dub initially said I was going to talk about trials, and I'm a Browns fan, so yeah, I know lots about trials. I thought it may be perfect.
He's a brave man. If any of you Cowboys fans want to throw something at him, I might look away.
I'll take it.
All right. It's nice to get lucky every now and then, but I'm just
okay.
Kidding.
No, it's okay. We haven't won 5 years in a row in 25 years, so it's okay.
All right. Wow. Yeah. All right, so I wanted just to ask if you would share just a little bit about your experience.
Not as a Browns fan, but what happened 2 months ago, for you who don't know, I experienced something called a manic episode. It's the third time that it happened to me. And a manic episode basically happens when you're unbalanced. You're not living in that and. Your brain becomes so wound up that your body doesn't think it needs rest. And the more it happens, the more the brain is convinced that it's correct, even though it's not the case. And Sandy had me take me to hospital, and I spent 16 days in a mental hospital in a psych ward, which is a weird place to be, especially when you think you have it all figured out. I went from both places to end. I went from places thinking that I've got nothing, that God's got nothing he can do for me, to thinking I had a line to God where I could just talk to him for anything and he could fix my problem at that instant. And it's a really weird spot to be, and it's a really unhealthy spot to be. And it's a spot that we're not striving to be. We're not striving to be one or the other, as Dev was just talking about. We're striving to be in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's related to bipolar. I'm more polar. I've never really experienced the depression part of things. I've experienced those of you who know me, I can get pretty wound up to begin with, but this gets me wound up on a level that's not healthy, where I'm just running. I spent the first 6 days running in the hospital, even though I had a really bad strain in my neck and a pinched nerve in my neck. I spent like 6 days running in the hospital. They would just take me outside. I would just run for hours on end and would not run out of energy. And it's crazy. It's a crazy, dangerous spot to be, because you can't know what's right, but you think that you're more right than ever.
So thank you, Mark, for having the courage to come and share.
And it's not easy to talk about, because it's like, if you looked at me during that time, you'd know that something was wrong, but you wouldn't necessarily know what's wrong. You look at someone who's got a broken leg, people know how to approach them and know what to say. People who are manic, we have moments of clarity where you can look normal and act normal. But if you knew me, you knew something was off after the fact, but you didn't know what. Yeah. It'd be like if you take Jarvis' glasses away and asked him to live a week without his glasses, or live 16 days without his glasses, how that would go for him.
Yeah, and so even as we've talked, I appreciate your vulnerability to kind of share with us here. Talking about that, and you're kind of alluding to that now, I think if you spend some time in a psych ward, there's some kind of stigma.
And
for
sure.
You've kind of shared that, like there's some kind of shame, or there's some kind of like, you know, if somebody needs glasses, I like that example. If someone needs glasses, it's not like, whoa, what's wrong with them? Like, but if someone needs some support for a mental condition, there can be a stigma of like, oh,
yeah, like, hey, there's some really crazy people in here. Like, if just look around, and there's some people who really need some help, and I was one of them. And there were people looking at me saying they thought I was a meth, that I was so high and so wound up and so crazy.
Sure.
I would go up to people and say, we're going to have such a fun time. And I would walk right up to people without my mask on and say, you need to put your mask on because it's not safe. Thinking that you have it all figured out when you don't have anything figured out whatsoever. And the real strength I had in there came from the church. Sandy did an amazing job of, I don't know how she got cards from everyone, but I felt loved. I felt God in that moment because Sandy did such an amazing job of getting cards. She called me every day. We had, I think, 2 hours of phone calls a day at the most, now an hour and 20. But the phone stretched about this far because it was in a place where people could hurt themselves, and so they didn't want you. So they were talking the phone to Sandy. I had to lean into the wall like this. But I felt like I was a god in there because I had all these cards I was walking around. I even got pictures of Sandy, which someone tore up for me. Someone else in there tore them up.
Yeah, I can see why that, the extra stigma, or at least the sense of that, would be an extra burden that's really hard in the middle of that.
And like going to, for my small group, you guys haven't seen me there for a while. It's because I've been falling asleep. My medication's not right. So I've been sleeping 10 hours a night, and Jai just helped me, saying that sounds great. I've been sleeping 10 hours a night and then sleeping during the day just to function, just to be able to watch TV. I've done nothing. And it's because nothing I've done, but it's because I'm sure Courtland can relate to medicine or anyone who's on medicine doesn't always work exactly how it should be. It's not like a pair of glasses.
Sure. These don't always work perfectly either, but... But at a different level, not to take away from what you're saying. So I wanted to ask if you would share just kind of what you have learned through this process. What's
God remained in control, and he was in control during that time, especially with getting our house. It was John, if you guys want to hear a crazy story, it sounds like a fable, talk to John Levis afterwards, and he can tell you a story about getting a house in a time when someone's in a mental hospital. Sandy tried to get a power of attorney, but God was in control the entire time. And sometimes he's all I could see. And he's all I could see because of a church, because of Sandy, because of a church. So thank you guys for that, honest to God. I'm shaking because I'm excited for what I was able to see in there, even if it wasn't all clear and perfect, it was all true. God's love remained true and his sovereignty remained true.
Amen.
And the day that that Sandy called from church, one really cool thing happened. She called from church and had people talk to me, and they said they're all praying for me. And we went to lunch. And after lunch that day, there was like 12 people in our unit. Maybe seven or eight were there because not everyone was always behaved. And there was a woman who stood up and said she wanted to have a prayer after lunch. And they asked me to pray, so I prayed. Then someone else prayed. Then someone else prayed. And pretty much the entire lunch unit prayed out loud for all sorts of things that people in church had just told me they were praying for. And I was like, man, God is real and active and living and at work. And that was really cool. I don't know if Sandy even knows that story or not. That was one of the coolest things ever that happened.
Yeah, and one of the things we were talking about is how when we are able to receive comfort from God, then we have comfort to offer others, and I think that's a great example. I wanted to pull up this quote. You shared a quote with me from Thomas Merton, and he writes that only the man who's had to face despair is really convinced that he needs mercy. That those who do not want mercy never seek it. It is better to find God on the threshold of despair than to risk our lives in a complacency that has never felt the need of forgiveness. A life that is without problems may literally be more hopeless than one that always verges on despair. And I wanted you to explain why does that mean something to you, or what does that mean to you? Why is that?
That quote is just so meaningful because I've gone through some trials here in the last couple of months, and Thomas Merton said, hey, you're in a good spot. You're in this place of mercy right now. You're a place where you realize you need God's mercy, whereas if everything had been perfect these last 2 months, I might not have seen the need for God's mercy these last 2 months. And I think that's a really, really cool quote, and it just really knocked me on my butt, and it was really humbling to me. I've been struggling to read, struggling to do my normal activities that I enjoy, but I was able to read that, and it was like, God can find you even with a little bit of effort. If you reach out for God just a little bit, he can reach back and find you. And it's really, really cool.
That's great. And then one last question, just from things that you've learned and seen, how would you recommend that we care for others who are going through hard times or that are seeking God's healing, or how can we really help each other? I know some of the things haven't been as helpful for you, and some things have been.
Not being a doctor is not healthy. Trying not to be my doctor is not healthy. No one in the church here has done it, but I've had family who've done that, and that's not been healthy for me. What's been healthy for me is people just asking me how I'm doing and joining me where I'm at. But also not having it define me, like not talking only about that. Like Marty's done a really good job asking about the Browns, or you know, trying to find a balance, trying to talk to me like I'm normal, even though you know I'm not, and have patience, I guess. I think that's the best way to do it, is to approach someone like you know something's not right with them, but you don't have to focus on that. You can just be my friend, be my brother, be my sister in Christ.
Well, I don't know what normal is, Mark, but
therefore I'm normal.
I respect you as a brother, and I appreciate that God is meeting you in the middle of this place, and that you haven't just glossed over that, and that you haven't lost hope. It's encouraging to me. And
what's your approach been, Dev? You've been alongside me. You've come alongside me these last few Wednesdays. It's become a thing. What have you done?
Yeah.
It's been effective.
So, and I guess just to share a few more verses, and then I'll wrap up with that, but why don't we give Mark an applause? Thanks. And I will... anybody think that took courage to share? I appreciate you, Mark. And I appreciate your faith. It's deep and inspiring. So I think what we do for each other is we come into the middle of where someone's at and we sit with them right there. And we don't say, what, this is, why don't you just do this and fix it? Or, oh, it's the reason you're here is because it's your fault. You should have done this. You just sit with somebody right where they're at. You just meet them right where they're at. And then you just stay there. And when you have a chance, you keep pointing them. There's still hope. God's still there. You don't let go of either one. And it's not a trite thing. Just like, oh, don't worry. Like, smile and be happy because God loves you. I think some of those things we bring are really trite. It's like, this is really real. I'm going to sit here with you. I will acknowledge it with you. And I will feel it with you. And I'll even let myself hurt with you. And then I'm going to keep the hope. And for me, I think one of the greatest ways to keep hope is just keep praying. It's like, I don't know how to fix you. And I can't fix you. It's not my job. I'm not your doctor. I appreciate that, Mark. We're all pretty good doctors, right? We got the internet. Hey, have you tried this? Anyways, we're all pretty good. But rather than saving anybody, just be there with them and pray with them. Point them to God. God is using this. God is in this. God will bring good. There is hope. Hope is not gone. You are still loved. I want to just go over a few verses. I think the Psalms are an amazing example of hanging on to that reality. Even like the song we sang today. They hang on to that reality. Life is really hard. They sing that. God, my life is really hard. And then they keep looking to God. I read this morning, Psalm 62. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I'm faint or weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. What an amazing phrase. I know you have unfailing love. I don't sit here in despair. There's more to it. But I do not gloss over and say it doesn't exist. I can sit in this reality and still remember God. 2 Corinthians is an awesome book. I love how Paul acknowledges his anguish, his hardship, his anxiety, fear, and things. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Both of those are true. We're wasting away outwardly, but we are being renewed day by day. The Spirit of God is renewing us and making all things new, even this earth new. Lastly, I think this is just kind of the climax. It's really powerful in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. That sounds horrible. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, begging him, please, please, please take this hardship in my life away. Please, I'm done with it. Please take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. God is powerful, even as we are weak. They are both true. So may we have the courage to acknowledge our human condition while fixing our eyes steadily at Christ, from whom love, hope, peace, and joy of God has come. He has brought all those into our world. May we never, ever let go of those, even when life squeezes us. We're going to sing a couple more songs, and I don't know. It's just on my heart this morning. I really wanted to pray for Cortland, if that would be okay, Cortland, just to pray for you. If you guys would all pray with me, what I want to, if you guys want to just pray where you're at, or if you would like to just raise your hand and kind of, you know, like either symbolically or with power, just say, we extend God's healing to you. So if you want to just lift a hand and kind of lean it towards Cortland and just acknowledge that we are in support and praying. So God, as we walk through this battlefield, as we walk through this place of minds and places of challenge, we fix our eyes on you. There's a greater reality. You are in it. God, I lift up Cortland and Luke to you. God, I just, we give you the pain and the questions and the fear and doubt. We give you the reality of the attack on her body. We ask that you would continue to sustain her with your deep love and your hope. We ask that you would give her healing, that you would strengthen her body. We ask that the medicine would be effective, that it would target the cells that need to be diminished. We ask that the medicine would work, that it would be effective. We ask that you would give the doctors wisdom. We ask that you would care for her. I ask that you would show her how much she's loved in the middle of all this, that she would know that she knows that she's loved. Pray that you would love her so deeply. In the middle of this, we cry out to you, God. We cry out to you just in the reality of where we're at in each of our lives. We trust you. You are our God. You're our hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.